Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Open Line Fund Sunday. If you care to give us a call, ring on in here. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
What's going on in there, man?
Man, nothing much. Just working, living the dream. You know
That's
how it,
it
goes.
That's right. We're working for a living.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's it. They made a song about that. You don't hear that too much anymore.
I'm gonna
back
say
in the day, working
it.
For a living.
Working for a living.
Yeah. I don't remember who performed it, but that's what we do here.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, welcome to the second hour of the show, folks. Give us a call if you'd love to. We'd like to hear from you this morning. 713-572-4610. Give us a call. Austin will get you punched up, and we'll get you on the air. And I don't know if y'all have noticed it a lot here lately. Boy, the snakes are on the move. It's spring, and they are out, especially the copperheads. I haven't seen so many copperhead photos from all my friends on Facebook in a long time. I've yet to encounter one on my property, but I know they're there. I see a few every year, but pretty, the thing with copperheads, they're kind of a lazy snake. They don't do a lot of moving. They're territorial, and they'll sit in an area, and they're not going to move. They'll let you step on them, and especially if you're working flower beds, weeding them, you know, they blend in, especially with some of these mulches and things like that. They're real hard to spot because they don't move. And when they're coiled up laying there and you're busy weeding the garden or going through the flower beds or whatever, it's real risky. So be aware of that. Snakes are out and they're on the move. And it won't be long, we'll be talking about sharks, shark encounters. You know, people wade fishing, getting sharks eating off their, or fish eating off their stringer by sharks. Hopefully that's all that happens, but that's all. That always makes for interesting conversation this time of year. You know, snakes in the spring, and then the sharks moving into the bays, which we go all winter without seeing many of them. Then they start getting real common. Naturally, they follow the food in, and they follow that that warm water up into the back bays where there's an overabundance of bait, where they can feed at will. That's what they do. But anyway, enough of that. But give us a call. We're open for business, 713-572-4610. And let's look at winds right now, see if it's come down any out there. I don't think it has. Looking at the buoy offshore, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. The buoy out there showing west-northwest at 27, gusting to 36. And then you've got Galveston Pier 21, 16 to 28. Eagle Point, 14 to 26. And then Morgan's Point, west-northwest, 17 to 24 miles per hour. So a little bit breezy out there, a little brisk. Temperatures dropped a little overnight, but it's no big deal. But talking to, Lynn and Tony this morning, just bringing up what we have to look forward to throughout the spring, and it's starting to happen. Water temps are coming up, and fish are pretty much shallow. You know, they're not to say there's not any deep water fish, because there is, there always is. But this time of year, when you pull these winds and people want to get shallow, this is what we do. We go to the shorelines to get out of the wind, and this time of year you have an abundance of fish that like to come shallow also, which helps us out a lot because we can get out of the wind and target those fish and make a day of it. And when it's really bad, when you got a lot of fish that are pretty much living in the middle of the bays all in the hot summer and you pull these winds, then you're at the mercy of it. You don't get to go fishing unless you just want to go out there and get beat up and bounce around in a rough boat and fish dirty water. But it's what usually happens. And we've been noticing with these winds picking up like they have with the water temps increasing. The water gets off color a lot easier now with the winds. You know, in the winter when you pull these high winds with that colder water, that water settles out quicker and you've got better fishable water right behind a blow. All right, let's get to our phone lines. We've got plenty of lines available, so give us a call in, 713-572-4610. Let's go to Ray Stanley in Highlands. Ray, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning, big guy. What's happening?
Not a whole lot. Not a lot. Just going with the flow here, bud. How are you?
Well, that's just doing fine. It's hard to complain. We missed out on that little weather event yesterday. That was strictly a non-event. That suited me fine.
Thank goodness we got split, yeah, because a lot of places got hit hard, man.
Well, you know, my sister out in Sisterdale, they really got hammered out there in the hill country and San Marcos and up through there. They really got it. So I think my granddaughter wound up with a few hail dents on her new car, so she's not very happy. But she was saying that they had golf ball size hail in San Marcos. And we can do without that, brother.
Yeah, you can keep that stuff up there. We don't want it down here.
But when it came, I don't think we got 5 drops of rain when it came through here. And you're right, it just split, and a little dab of it. It looked like a little dab of it went over by Beach City, but most of it went like Crosby and up that way.
Yeah, it kind of split me and went south and north of me, and I got a trace of rain's all I got. I had to water my tomato plants last night. I just didn't get enough to water them down. I love that fresh rainwater on my tomato plants.
Boy, it makes them smile, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Well, I tell you. Well, you know, it's Mother Nature is a fickle old girl, you know. We never, it always seems like we're either getting too much or too little of something.
Always.
But anyway, I've been playing up the river here lately, just going up and getting my string jerked by a little white bass up at the dam, which that deal's on. And they're, as long as they're letting some water out of Lake Houston, there'll be some action up there. I can't get, if I launch here, I can't go anywhere. You can go as far as the ferry up there, and then they're going to stop you. You can't go around to Burnett or any place like that.
No.
Because they've got it shut down all the way up to the bridge, up to the Hartman, I think. But they're keeping the traffic out. You can't get out of the river down there, and you can't, if you go over to Burnett Bay just to play around, you have to launch in their little HOA ramp over there, because mm-hmm. you can't go through the channel to go around there. So it's been different, but that I hear they're gonna get that under control and open it back up maybe this week.
Yeah, that's the rumor I'm hearing. Possibly sometime this week they'll open it back up, let everybody in, you know, where they're able to navigate down the channel.
I went, Carolyn and I went over to O'Neill's the other day, just that pretty afternoon, sat out on the deck and had a burger and a couple of cervezas, and I can't, that park is absolutely totally full of those guys remediating that situation, and the marina is just loaded with work boats. I was astounded. I had no idea that what all was going on and over there and how many people were involved in it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But anyway, which one of the castaway rods you did? I went over to Academy yesterday to get some freshwater stuff. I'm going to head up to the dam
this week. I was fortunate enough to get on a good enough school of fish, and I power poled down on them where I could get them going, and I could go through my 4 blanks that I'm really, you know, that feel right to me, and the Invicta and then that Skeleton, those 2 different blanks. And I've got, you know, one in like a Wader light and another one in the Wader medium light donk. And in either.
Are you going to do the 6-7 or 7?
Well, you got a 6-6 and a 6-7. The donk is like an inch longer than the regular Wader medium light and the Wader light. And I seem to like that better. You know, the jury's still out on that. I got a lot of fish to catch until I get the feel. But what I liked about it, I liked the way it felt throwing the hot rod and then the other one with the Lee Lee. And then the Skeleton, the Wader light, I really liked it with the soft plastics with a light jig head. It threw good. It it had a fast capability to it, you know, with a light tip for finessing, but it had enough fastness in the blank, you know, from the midway point down to the butt to get a quick hook set. And the
that's the 6.7 Wader light.
The 6.6. The Donk is a 6.7. Yeah, they got so many different blanks in that, especially in the skeleton series for fresh and salt water. You just got to kind of go through them and feel what you like. I think in the skeleton, I'm more the medium light. I was more partial to that. And then naturally the Donk, I like that, especially with like Corky or Lily or Hot Rods, you know, twitch baits and stuff like that. I liked it. It's real fast. Real super fast as far as
you know. I guess through time I've just gotten so used to the 7-footers back when
You can get those same actions in a 7-foot also. I just a lot of people like the 7-footer because they can throw it a little bit farther, but I don't have any problem with distance, and it just, for me, my body frame, my height and everything, I like the 6.6, 6.7, you know, somewhere in that range. Now, I will throw a 7-footer. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll throw it. But I'm more partial to just another 4 or 5 inches off that tip.
You know, when I went down to the 6.5 or 6.6 for the previous rods that we all had, I just never could. My muscle memory or whatever it was, I just never could quite get used to that shorter, even though it's just a few inches shorter. It's just like your golf swing. I'm just so used to doing the 7-foot because we did that through All-Star and everything else.
Well, shorter is just quicker. You're going to get it's more sensitive and it's just faster. You'll get a quicker hook set. It's not as mushy feeling to me. A 7-footer feels mushy to me.
Well, I tell you, it's amazing that that little difference can make such a big difference when you're,
it does.
When you're swinging that.
Hey, just take a 7-foot rod and cut 4 inches off the tip of it and then put another tip on it and see how it feels. And using the same blank, it totally changes the outcome.
Well, it's fun to fool around with it. I'm going to wait till you settle down. I mean, you know my fishing habits. I'm don't do a whole lot of top waters. I do throw my Lily every now and then. I've yet to come across a hot rod. But mainly it's soft plastics for me. So when you get settled in on one, you let me know and I'll go over and get me one. I got to be in the groove with my man. You know what I mean?
I heard that, brother. Always. The Baytown boys got to stick together.
Well, if the Baytown boys don't stick together, we ain't got a chance.
We don't. You got that right. All of Robert E. Lee rejects.
Yeah, we had that little old birthday
party. Yeah,
y'all had
that was cool. You were telling me about it.
Yeah, and we wound up having 104 people out of that, you know. Of course, it was a large class.
That's like a good turnout. Yeah, but still, at y'all's age, that's a great turnout for that many, you know, seniors to get together like that. That's impressive.
And we got, you know, of course, out of that huge class, like we had back in the day, we'd managed to, well, let's see, we got together at our 60th reunion, and I guess it's the first time we've all been together again since then, and we, this isn't going to sound right, but I'm going to say it anyway, we had only lost 32 in that 3-year period, so at our advanced age, I thought that was pretty good.
That's pretty good odds, pretty good percentages. All right, man. I got a roll, Ray.
Okay, well, I'm
hey, it was nice there. Talking to you. Go beat on them white bass some more, man. You're catching them on what, white roadrunners?
Yep, that's exactly it, white roadrunners, because they're feeding off shad right there on at that curtain where it drops off. You just flip it up there, and it's automatic.
Great.
Okay,
all right,
man.
Buddy. Good talking to you, Ray. Have a great Sunday.
See you later, brother.
All right, bye. Later. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 519 in the Bayou City on this Open Line Fun Sunday. We're accepting calls as we speak. 713-572-4610. Give us a call. Let's talk about it. John on 2. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Hey, Mickey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good for now.
For now.
Yeah, for now.
Something bad coming?
It's early.
Oh, I got you. I understand, brother.
Look, I'm thinking about taking my sixth grade grandson and son-in-law out on a guided fishing trip.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on guided fishing trips, but I've never paid for them before. What is the typical cost of a guided fishing trip?
For saltwater?
Yeah.
Anywhere from, it depends on whether you're going to fish a half or a full day. I don't ever book half days much. When I go, I'm going, you know. And
yeah.
But anywhere from $450 to $750, depending on the guide and how many hours you fish. And, you know, some guides put kind of an hour limit on their services. Where, you know, you leave at a certain time, and then when those 5 hours are up, you're going in, no matter whether they're biting or not. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't put a time frame on anything. A lot of my buddies don't. We just go fishing, and we fish till we get them. But it kind of depends, and on the level of fishermen you're taking. Fishermen, you know, fishing, that has a lot to do with it, too. You know, whether they're beginners, very novice, or they're real good.
Well, I want the guy to concentrate on my grandson.
Yeah. Like, in what way?
Well, just help him fish.
Yeah. I mean,
and,
but he can do his own casting and everything, right?
He can do that.
Well, that's what a guy does. I mean, we can't set the hook and catch. Well, some guys do that. They'll set the hook and hand them the rod, but that's not teaching them anything. You want to teach them how to cast, and you want them to feel the bite and set the hook on their own and do all that. The guide will, you know, pick out backlashes for them or tie up their, rig them up or net their fish or that kind of thing. But, it just depends. It depends on how the fishing is, whether you're fishing with artificials or live bait, you know, the whole drill.
Well, does the guide provide all the gear?
They can. Some do. Yeah, they do. You have to request it. If you call to book a guide, let him know that you're going to need tackle. And foremost, let him know what type of tackle, too, whether it's bait cast or spinning. I mean, if they're not good with bait casting, just let him know that, and he'll have spinning tackle.
Well, my grandson is familiar with spin cast, so that's probably what we use.
That's what you need to tell the guide when you book him, and he'll have the proper outfit for you.
Okay. So it's about anywhere from $400 to $600-$700.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now let me ask you, if we get on a good load of fish, what's the tip?
It just depends on the guide itself. I mean, even if he didn't catch very many fish for it, if he worked hard and really tried and burned a lot of fuel and all that, I used to get bigger tips on slower days than I do on busy days when we catch a lot of fish. But, yeah, an average tip for a trip like that's $100.
Okay.
Depending on, you know, and if you got buddies with you, when everybody's, you know, all of them will pitch in, and usually the tip's about $200.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Okay, I've learned a lot.
All right. Well, cool deal.
We'll take him out and see what we can do.
Good luck with you. Hope you find you a good guide.
I'm thinking about Charlie Pardowski.
Well, there you go. Go with Charlie.
Okay.
All right, man. Have a good
bye-bye.
One. All right, thank you. All right. Boy, is he going to be in for a ride. No. I had to say that. Charlie would be good with him. Oh, goodness. It's, you know, guiding people, it's a, you know, so you hit it off with most of them, and some of them, it just, you know, it's just the chemistry in there. Even though you do a good job for them, and you know, I don't know, I hadn't met many strangers in my life. Every once in a while, you'll get a crew in the boat where you just feel uncomfortable with. They don't, you know, the communication's not there. They don't have a good sense of humor. They don't like to cut up or rag on each other when you miss a fish, or just, you know, have fun. It's too tight. I don't like that tightness. I like a loose crew, man. You know, if I mess up and and turn my trolling motor up too high or make a bad cast or whatever. I want them to, hey, lay it on me, man. But expect the same in return. That's what I like about it. But, no, I love meeting new people and taking people fishing. And I guess that's why I've liked what I've done for so many years. You just, people are interesting to me. And some, every once in a while, you get some that are not so interesting. But I'll tell you what is interesting. We got plenty of lines available up here. If anybody's awake up out there and hadn't got blown off the grid, give us a call, 713-572-4610. I got a email from Rusty, one of my buddies, Rusty Dearman, Randy's brother. He said he's picking us up in Junction, Texas this morning. Can you believe that? That's a good fair piece out there. And the wind's blowing from that way to this way. But I guess everything's just right. Pick up 6:10 a.m. in Junction, Texas. You know, I was in Mexico one time, and I picked up Bob Jr. across the border. We were with Deer Lease, and I got in my truck and started up, and I had it on 6:10 a.m. And I could faintly hear Bob Jr. talking to somebody on air on the other side of the border over there. That was pretty bizarre. Thought that was pretty good signal that morning.
We're going global, Captain Mickey.
Going global.
We're going global.
Yeah. But, hey, you can pick us up anytime at radio.com. You stream that in, you can be on the moon and probably get us there.
Oh, yeah.
Radio.com.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. All right, what else are we going to talk about this morning? Get the pot stirred up. I'm looking forward to the Masters today and more Astros baseball.
The baseball. We got the Rockets as well.
That's right, the Rockets. At their first playoff game tonight, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So it should be interesting. And then I just started watching. I don't know if you're into it, but Game of Thrones. You got everybody going crazy for that.
I know. Everybody's into Game of Thrones. Yeah. You know, I hadn't watched an episode yet. I don't get locked into those because I get too tied down to them.
Yeah.
And with my schedule, it's hard for me to do that.
You're a busy man.
I've got a DVR and all that, but then you got to go back and spend the time watching all that. And sometimes I can't work it in.
Yeah. I just started it. A lot of our coworkers.
Is it cool?
Yeah. Honestly, it's pretty it's pretty intense.
Is it like Breaking Bad? Remember how everybody was crazy over Breaking Bad? That was big time.
That was a good show. I would say people are more crazy for Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Really? Cool.
I'm only in the second season, but it's definitely entertaining. I'll say that.
Well, maybe you're going to make me want to get involved in that. Go back and watch all the previous episodes and then catch back up.
Man, you might have to check it out.
I might just have to. All right. Well, that's interesting. But the Masters, they're going to start that broadcast early today. I don't know whether they'll start it out on the Golf Channel or ESPN or Channel 11. Usually on the weekend, CBS has that. And with Jim Nantz, you got to love Jim Nantz and all that crew. They're the best in my books. I really enjoy their terminology and the way they discuss golf. They're real pros. But I'm pulling for my boy Tiger Woods today. Golly, I'd like to see him win it just one more major. And he's so close right now, and as close as he's been in a long time. From all the things that guy's been through and what he's put himself through, but especially with the injuries, all the knee surgeries and back operations and everything, and then he had all that personal life stuff mess him up for a while. But I think the Tiger's back. He looks, you know, he's not getting any younger. He's getting up in age, and it'd be cool to see him bust a Masters off like Jack Nicklaus did at, what was Nicklaus, 56 when he won his last one, something like that?
He was up there.
He was, and his son was on the bag and all that. That was awesome.
If Tiger can come back and do it, man, you couldn't write a better story.
I'm telling you. And it, you know, he went through a lot of problems, losing his dad like he did, and you know, failed marriage and all that. But, you know, it's just personal life. And strong people get over things like that, and they're able to regroup. I hope I see him do it because, you know, my nephew plays on the tour, and that's all they talk about is Tiger, what he's done for the game of golf. I mean, he's just, you know, kind of like what Arnie and Jack did for golf back in their era, Tiger has done in the new modern era. And look at the prize money. you can thank Tiger Woods for that. And it's elevated the game. Look at the level of players we have these days, and all of them. Look at all these new young guys. I mean, they idolized Tiger Woods and a lot of other great golfers like that as they were coming up, just as Tiger did with Arnie and Jack and all that bunch. And it's kept the game going. And, man, what a place to play out perfect theater today than at Augusta Pines, created by Bobby Jones, one of the legends of the game. So I'm sure I'm boring you with this if you're not a not a follower of golf, but it's kind of in my blood, my family. We've got a pro on tour, so it's how we live it sometimes.
And I backed my LTD over that net and didn't feed at night, and I put a little skiff, a little boat on top of the car and tied it. And then when I pulled out, that net hung on some of the stuff on the bottom of my car, and I drug that shrimp net all the way to Fulton. I'm the only way I drug a shrimp net 50 friggin' miles didn't catch a damn shrimp, man.
That's hilarious.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
I know what you're thinking, Punk. You're thinking, did he fire six shots or only five? Now, to tell you the truth, I forgot myself and all this excitement. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off, you could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Punk?
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5:37 here in the Bayou City. All right, next up, Land One, Captain Glenn. What's up, man?
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
How are you, man? What are you doing up this early on a Sunday morning?
Well, I just wanted to catch your show, man. It's what I do.
I know you do. How you been, brother?
I listen and learn like a whole bunch of other folks out there. If they want some informative stuff, tune in to 6:10 a.m. like I have.
Well, I appreciate that.
Bob and Bob Jr., and you do a great job, man. I'm telling you, you've helped me along my career and tons of people that I know and listen to. And just you can always tune in to find out the newest of the latest and the greatest and all that stuff, man. I just appreciate everything y'all do for everybody. And I just wanted to reach out and just say, hey, man, fishing's great. Listen, man, we right before this front blow through, we got out Friday after I talked to you.
Right.
Trip that morning. They didn't show up till 8 o'clock. And I told them, you know, they were driving in from Pearland or somewhere. I said, y'all just take your time. We'll stay as long as we need to. Well, by the time they got down there, I think it was blowing 25 plus out of the
east. I know
it,
man.
Oh, man. Hard east. And we talked about what that does. That pushes all of y'all's water down to our end of the bay. You know, and here's another thing. I just wanted to explain this. I live in a very unique area with Christmas Bay, Bastrop Bay, San Luis Pass at one end, and down here at the Freeport Jetties. You know, I always get hit with the question, well, where's the tide? Which way does the tide come in? I go, well, where
both directions, actually.
That's right. It comes in wherever there's a major pass. It's going to come and go. So here, if you drew a line through the middle of Christmas Bay, from that line south goes out to Freeport Jetties. From that line east goes out San Luis Pass. And people just can't get a grip on, well, but look, man, I can find parts of that bay out there in the middle where you can't find current at all. But you get a little bit down to one end or the other end. And, I mean, that's what I say. It's very unique having that pass and that jetty and being able to fish at both ends. You can fish at the jetties on outgoing or the pass at outgoing. You can fish at them, you know, incoming on both of them. But you just have to understand that part of it to kind of figure out where your main currents are going to be and stuff like that. So I always like to just throw that out there and help them kind of understand that you got current pull from both ends. It's just a little bitty small area, you know, just a couple of bays that are affected. Well, actually, more than that. You know what I'm saying? That,
just like West Bay, you know, you can kind of pretty much draw the line there at Karankawa Reef, and your current from there south is controlled by San Luis Pass, and from there
right.
back to the east and the northeast is the jetties that do that, the Galveston jetties. So
that's, yes, sir. Always.
Probably the reason it was made into pretty much like a barrier reef back in the old days, you know, across the whole bay.
Sir. Well, I'll tell you what, I love it, and I love it. I mean, I just can't get enough of it down
there. Yeah, y'all had a pile of reds, man. What'd y'all, totally limited out on reds Friday, didn't you?
We got out there, Captain Mickey, and it was blowing like heck, and I just said, look, as I'm easing into the bay, I looked over in a cove, and I said, well, we got one spot, and that's it, man, one spot. He goes, huh? And I said, watch. And we eased up in there, and I slid the anchor off the front, power pulled off the back, got us all horizontal. There's a little pod of shell I know of, and there's about 2 feet of water over the top of it because our bays were so bulled up.
Right.
Our tides were so bulled up. We sat there, Mickey and Cat, on about a foot and a half deep, under a popping cork with these big old white shrimp. They're getting some really nice shrimp down in the area right now. And, man, it was from the first cast from 8:30 to 1 o'clock.
Lock and load.
Never pull the anchor. Never had to go nowhere and look for any other fish. They were right there. And, I mean, when they wanted to take a break and drink them something and get them a beer, and they were German folks and these real nice folks.
Well, they like their beer now.
I never laughed and been congratulated and blessed and everything all in one day, man. It restores your faith in what
you
do.
Yeah,
you
had a good crew,
man.
You bet you.
Oh, my goodness. And fishing couldn't have been any better. We couldn't have took any more pictures. We ended up, I kept two of them, two bleeders for me, for my family.
Right.
They ended up with their six reds and I think up to 26 and a half inches long. We let a 28 and a half inch was the biggest one. Mm-hmm. We measured it, got a picture, let it go. But caught and released at least three more limits between 21 and a half and 26 inches.
There you go.
And I have never, ever, ever in my life sat on a pile of fish like that they wouldn't leave. You know what I mean? So like I said, I'd put a rod in a holder. I'd throw it out there. Hit that cork right near or on top of the reef, really, because the water was so deep. And that's what it was. When we get those bull tides over here, man, they go crazy. But it's just a story I have to share because I fish all the time, and you don't always have days like this, man. So I had to share that with y'all this morning.
Well, I was glad to hear that. I'm glad you called, man. That was good.
No, shoot, it was windier than heck. I tell you what, our hair was blowing.
See, and you just never know. That's fishing. You know, you just you can't catch them on the dock. So if you got a crew that's able and willing, and the weather's terrible, you go out there,
sir.
You never know what you might stumble up on, man.
You sure don't, and not when you got those equalizer hop-o-matics on the boat.
Boy, I tell you, there, I had never met many fish in the bay that'll turn down a shrimp. I'm
telling you, you know, they haven't seen. It's early in the spring, so they haven't seen that many shrimp, and they're really, I always say they're excited about those shrimp, huh? What are you talking about? Well, look, man, they've been kind of through a winter and the hard times, and the shrimp are showing up, and they're on them. But
hey,
I mean,
the trout and reds are out roaming around the flats just like the reptiles are. They're hungry. They're ready.
They really, really hungry. But, you know, I don't really think we had maybe one baby redfish, maybe one undersized redfish, but they were all 20 and a half, 21.
Hey, jump,
half,
jump
22.
Over the other side of the pass and run over and hit some of them coves in West Bay. There's the most rat reds. All my buddies that are waiting over there said they've never seen rat reds like there is over there this year.
Water
thousands
population.
Of them, man. We got a heck of a hatch coming.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. But, hey, man, I'm not going to keep you.
All right, Glenn. Well, hey, it was good
to
hear from you.
Story.
You bet, man.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Throw your number out. Somebody wants to call you about coming over to the Tri-Bay area and having a good day with you, man.
Yes, sir. And children are always welcome on my boat.
I know they are.
I'll always work my butt off and try. I want everybody to learn something each day they go with me. 713-208-0683. Thank you, Captain Mickey. Once again, I appreciate you.
Thank you, Glenn. See you, buddy. All right. Take
yes,
care.
Sir.
All right. All right, let's go to our next caller. It'd be Ray on two. Ray, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Captain. How you doing?
I couldn't be better. How about yourself, man?
Oh, man, I'm good as snuff and twice as dusty.
Bull Garrett.
There you go.
Or what was that other stuff? Bull of the Woods? There was a bunch of those brands.
Yeah, I remember that one. I see that on a little, I guess, the emblem on the wall of the barbershop.
Yeah, you got it.
Hey, Mickey, the last time I talked with you, I was talking to you about the Beagles and the Bensons, you know.
Right.
And a couple of thoughts came to me. One of my best memories of being outdoors is to be in a river bottom and your dogs, you know, cut loose on a rabbit, and all the dogs would sit there and throw their heads back and just kind of howl at the sky, and the reverberations from the voices would make the leaves fall out of the tree.
Yep.
Until you see that, man, you haven't been in the woods. Hey, the other week, or was it 2 weeks ago, I was listening to you, and you had the guy from Castaway in.
Yeah, that was last Sunday, matter of fact. Magdalop, yeah.
Yeah, well, when you get a certain age, they all just run together.
That's all right. Hey, it's perfectly understandable. I'm there, buddy.
Okay.
I'm there.
What that did do, you know, with the advancements of rods and stuff, you remember, it's been some time ago, and I did jump on the internet, and, you know, you can go around the world in 2 days on the internet if you just get caught up in it.
Right.
But anyway, remember when they had that contest when that guy was bragging about how he could cast over the Astrodome when they made a big production out of it?
Yeah, that big long caster guy. Yeah, that did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
You know, with the advancements of rods nowadays, I live out here on 59, and you'll see people going surf fishing, and they'll have an 18-foot trailer rigged up with a skywalk on it and rod holders. And you know, people are really, really taking that surf fishing serious.
They're big into it nowadays with all the new equipment we have and the way you can rig things out, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I think it would be amazing for some sort of fundraiser, something that they have that get some of your sponsors, you know, the rod people, to see if they can't do that Astrodome thing before it get away again.
Yeah.
They might not have to put them on a platform.
Well, try Reliant now. Throw it over Reliant.
Yeah. And the other thing, I had a chance to go out with the Hammer. I guess it's been a couple of years ago by now, but I had a great time with that guy, man. Work his butt off and energetic, and if I didn't know any better, I'd want a drug test him. He's wired.
He's like Richard, like the fish dude. Those guys are wired up, man. They're passionate about what they do, man. They're high speed, low drag.
Yeah, you can't be good unless you care.
That's it. You got to love it, or you're not going to be any good at it.
Okay, well, that's all I had for this morning.
All right, Ray.
Hey,
good hearing from you, buddy.
All right, take care.
Hey, take care, too. See you. All right, Tom is next. Tom, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. Hey. What's up?
Hey, bud. I just want to chime in with the Rockport report on Friday. We had a good little win. Came in that brand new state park boat launch, and it was really nice. And we went across Ranzas, tucked in those spots and Allens and Spaldings.
Yeah. I love fishing Spalding, and especially Spalding Bite up in that corner before you get to Carlos. Oh, I love wade fishing there.
I was skeptical about it. You know, it's been a year since I've been there, but I used to fish it 20 years in a row. But after Harvey, I was skeptical about it. Long story short is that we hopscotched around a little bit, and our third spot, about 10 o'clock, you had to throw your Little Johns or your thumping mullet right in the grass, pull it out, and those fish were just looking at the reeds, the grass.
Yeah.
And they just hit it. And there were some, smaller fish, but we, out of three of us, we got two limits. Then we went out to towards the bass house, toward the airport there, you know, towards Mud Island.
Right.
And that's tucked in around the corner there with that wind blowing. And found
What wind direction did you have that day?
We had a good northeast.
Oh, okay, yeah. You can tuck in behind mud there and get out of that.
Well, we tucked in behind the jetties that all the crew boats go into.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we tucked in there and idled in there, and it has changed. Harvey did have an effect on the had a lot of mud over the oysters, kind of choked them out. It's kind of sad. We used to pick them and eat them. You know, those oysters are good. But we ended up catching over those grass beds that were a little further out the trout.
Mm-hmm.
So we caught 6 keeper trout and 4 keeper reds and a lot of small fish. Resources are good, and just wanted to say that there wasn't many boats out. We saw one crabber and another boat, and we had just a good time. We got back home from Houston, west side, and home by 7, the boat put in the barn, and we had a good day.
That makes it nice, don't it? That's
well, yeah, and especially after Harvey, I was, you know, with the infrastructure there, like the hotels people were talking about and stuff, and, you know, just putting in the boat and running across where you used to go, there were some guts that were filled in now. You couldn't,
right?
With the cloudy day we had, you couldn't see.
Oh, a big storm like that changes a lot of things, man.
Yes, sir. And I just want to say, I appreciate your show, buddy. And I've always been an avid listener and, native Texan, and my dad always took me fishing on the jetties, and I just kind of grew from there.
All right, Tom.
We went down to Rockport and had a really good time, and it wasn't a slam time, but it was just a great day.
Well, thank you for that, and I appreciate the call. And you bet you, man. Nothing like
tight lines.
Nothing like Texas, baby. See ya.
10-4.
All right, Rockport. Take care. Bye. Later. Yeah, he's tell he likes Rockport too. I fished all up and down the coast. And I guess for like taking family, especially the women, they like Rockport. You know, I hadn't been there since the hurricane now, but man, they had all those little shops and a lot of things for the ladies to do if they didn't want to go out on a boat with you all day. And it's cool, pretty cool nightlife there too. It's pretty good party spots and hangouts, and you get to hang out with fishermen, people do what you do and tell lies to each other all night over a cold beer. That gets pretty good at times.
Sounds like a good time.
It is. Rockport's pretty. I like it down there. Well, we're coming up on the break already. We're going to play the national anthem here in a little bit, too.
We got a good one coming, too.
A lot of folks' favorite song, and it should be. Good old U.S. of A. But after we come back from the break, we got a couple of regulars hanging on. Santa Fe Jim, or what is he today, Kentucky Jim or Mississippi Jim?
No,
did he say he's Santa Fe this morning?
Yeah, he said Santa Fe this morning, and him and Guitar Dave, they got some funny stories to tell.
Yeah,
they
we got our North Side mascot up there hanging on too. Guitar Dave, the guy from the North Side.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, cool. Well, folks, we appreciate you tuning in to the Outdoor Show. We're going to take our top of the hour break, and we'll come back at 6 o'clock and do another hour of this. And thankful to be here. So, thanks for listening to the show. We'll be right back after these messages.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.